Oh, that's so much easier, faster goodbye. I was like, every time I'm like, we're waiting for that Zoom end all thing, and I'm like, goodbye. But that was just a quick little end of whatever. I loved them. Loved them so much. They're great. I really fucked with their energy. Really much. Can we talk about the fact that they know Alex and they know Maxie? Like, the way the world is small. But there's just so much context with this episode. We went from two different subjects back to the main subject to, like, I liked that I got a lot more of an insight for what... Damn, I don't even know where to start with this. How about you give your two cents? I can pick you back up.
While you get yours together.
Yeah, it's just so much, you know?
I am very impressed with... The guests that talk about how this coffee industry is their journey, is the accepting culture that they were lacking.
Yeah.
That's really hit me when she was talking about that, of just that, the cultural divides that you were talking about earlier in regards to the backgrounds. And not being, you don't feel like you're part of this culture, but you're not part of this culture. But the coffee industry seems to accept you blindly.
Yeah.
And protects you and keeps you safe, which is interesting.
I mean, they also work in a pretty queer-friendly community also, which probably just emphasizes those qualities.
They mentioned that... Right, dead center of it.
Yeah.
Right, that's true.
And then their extensive history in so many avenues probably plays a lot of roles with being able to connect with other people on a more emotionally vulnerable level. Like, they said that it was a very emotionally laborious job, which checks out because there's no such thing as platonic friendships in a lot of the queer world because it gets so easily interwoven with, like, trauma bonding, mutual interests, creative outlets, and then just the aspect of working together. It's so easy to have lines blurred. But I really did enjoy how they were very transparent on a lot of those coffee bros and talking about, like, being intimidated by being in that space and still trying to show up and trying to compete, and like that mentality of, like, I understand that I'm not going to be the best right now, but I'm going to keep working hard and striving for it. Like, I appreciate that they weren't scared and they didn't feel deterred to continue, because, like, a lot of that atmosphere is uncomfortable and a lot of people don't want to partake in that.
By design.
Yeah.
The bros don't want anybody invading.
I mean, it's their space. It's their circle. I've had my fun share of coffee bros. And it's like, you don't even, the invisibility aspect of, like, you're not really there. It's crazy.
When they said that, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That they weren't recognized until they brought their partner. It's like, what?
Yeah, I think that, like, them coming, there's so much shit that's so full circle for them too, where it's like having a Latino, Latina background, along with having a partner that's also from an origin country, and then just like being so full throttle into it is just crazy. Like, I'm very interested in this person on a personal level to learn more about their story as a person outside of the coffee world. This episode just takes you on so many different wavelengths, where we talk about politics, we talk about identity, we talk about being children of immigrants living in America, and then also about being a barista and just trying to grow in that industry and fighting against these uncomfortable, like, uneasy, like, working situations, and then trying to find your voice and making more of a voice for a community that I did not even know existed. Like, I didn't know much about. I mean, it checks out why it's an invisible part of the industry. It's because who's going to march around half the time and say I'm a sex worker? So it's just, like, amazing that they came on the show and they were so fucking vulnerable and very open about their emotional space and what they're feeling and what they've experienced. And it makes me very happy to hear that there are people like them that are creating spaces for other people to feel comfortable in emotional spaces and comfortable with coming forward and saying this stuff, because obviously they need to build their community in the way they need to.
Well, you're doing the same thing with the podcast too, even though they've never heard an episode. They're going to now, just from what they'd mentioned.
They said at least two, so Max is two,
which is great. But you're creating that as well too, though. Just that, let it roll. You pull back from the microphone and you just let them talk. We've talked about that before. What forum allows them to do that, other than in their coffee shops and they're talking, or, you know, one-on-one?
Yeah.
And now they have a bullhorn potential of being on a podcast and just blowing, which is great.
I think they, along many of the other people that I've had on the show, but them in particular, are like the diamond of people that I love to hear their stories about, because they have nuance. They have all of these different, like, applicable experiences that can really come and pinpoint a lot of these issues that we need to discuss and address. And a lot of those come from the loudest people in the room. You know, like, a lot of the loudest people in the room have come forth and been like, I'm unapologetic about my voice. And you know what? That person's made me unapologetic about my voice. And because of that, I'm going to start saying this shit, and I'm going to start packing myself up, and then I'm going to lift up other people. And it's just like, I love to see that energy, because that's the kind of like empowerment and community that I think that the queer women, like, identifying and people of color community and part of this industry need, because it's so overshadowed by other people.
Do you think the industry is going to, in your view, age with these people?
I think that a lot of what they're trying to do is at least carve out a path for the people that will.
Because it is a very young culture.
I think a lot of what's creating this noise, this chaos that a lot of people are like, well, this is what's happening. It might not be like trailblazers that are like coming and then like barking shit down. But what they're doing is they're vocalizing a lot of these things that never were before, because it was the set of what the status quo was back in the day, versus like a lot of these younger generation of people, and me being a younger generation also, since me and them were the same age. It's like, what we're trying to do is get the people that want to create more organizations, more nonprofits, to try and establish a voice for the producers, for what's considered ethically right in terms of sourcing, in terms of owing what's due to the producers, and like giving a safe space for queer and people of color and women to thrive in an industry that is all about community. Like, every time we've had somebody on the show, it's always been, I love the people, I love the producers. I love the people and I love the producers. So yeah, it makes sense to what we're trying to do, is we're trying to cultivate a very real and intimate space that it might not happen now, but we've seen like organizations coming together, people who I've brought on the show who are vocalizing what they're trying to do to contribute to that ideology, that I think that it's possible. I think it's going to take a lot more education from pushing that narrative towards a lot of those coffee bros, because sometimes they handle the money. So I think that like the more people that are open-minded to the experience, that are open-minded towards the narratives changing or accepting their space in it as well, that we can all coexist and try and figure it out. Because the way things have been running since coffee kind of like started coming into America, it just isn't right. Like, obviously everything goes back like generations for these people. So yeah.